Welcome, friends, to Inspirational Truths, a time for exploring truths from God's timeless book. My name is Todd Price. I believe that song and the message for today will be a blessing to each of you. So with that in mind, it is my privilege to introduce to you the founder of Inspirational Truths, my father, Tom Price.
Well, greetings, friends. My name is Tom Price, and I'm always happy to say it's Inspirational Truth time once again, and I greet you in the blessed name of Christ, my Savior. And if he isn't yours, he can be. If he isn't yours, he wants to be. In fact, if he isn't yours, he came to be, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. That's what the Word of God teaches us. And how wonderful, friend, how wonderful that is. That's good news, by the way. You won't hear that just everywhere that you listen in on some kind of a program. And I'm sorry to say even some Christian programming. But I'll tell you, friend, God loves us so much that he sent his only begotten Son to this world to save the whosoever wills. There's even a group, and I believe they're saved, well-intended and all of that, but there's a group of people that are purporting the old Calvinist doctrine, hyper-Calvinism, that says God has chosen and elected some for heaven, some for hell. Hey, I'm going to tell you what, the Bible teaches us clearly that God would have all men to be saved. God's not willing that any should perish. The Bible says whosoever will. Hey, listen, friend, I'll tell you, God is in the business of saving people. Well, hey, I hope this finds you well. I do know it finds you blessed. Debbie and I are excited about the program, and I say that often because it is true. We're excited about what God gives us to do. We don't have to do what we're doing. We don't have to do this radio ministry. We don't have to go to church. We don't have to do anything. But hey, I tell you what, we get to. Hallelujah. We have the privilege to. And what a joy it is. We've never lost the joy of it. Oh, listen, friend, it does get hard at times. We get tired physically, emotionally, mentally, and all these kind of things. Deal with doubt and wonderment and all kinds of stuff. But hey, I'm going to tell you what, friend, this is real. Can I tell you? This is real. And I've opened my Bible today. The Lord has led me. The best I can discern and figure out is in to the book of Joshua, chapter 1, right after the book of Deuteronomy, right before the book of Judges, the book of Yahushua. Matter of fact, that's what Jesus is in the New Testament, Yahushua. And we're going to read, about the first 8-9 verses probably, and I'll share the message with you that God has laid on my heart. But before I do that, Deb's got a song tuned up and ready to go, and the title of it is Standing in the Light. Friend, I hope that's where you're at. I certainly do. If you're in the light, you're in the right place. But trust me, in the light or out of it, the light's shining on me and you. Debbie does a good job with this, and I know you enjoy it. I'll be back when the song's over with the message.
No longer standing in the shadows of night, found rest for my weary soul. Oh, since Jesus saved me, a new life he gave me, now I'm standing in the light of his love. Do you remember when you were born, just like the rest? I doubt it. Shadows of night. Since Jesus saved me, a new life he gave me, now I'm standing in the light of his love. In his word says you must be born again, you must be born from above. So if you've gave your heart to Jesus, you're no longer standing in the shadows of night. He gave me, now I'm standing in the light of his.
that's good, friend, don't you think? That I do. Thank you, Debbie. Beautiful song, beautiful lady, inside and out. How wonderful it is. Look, I've told you I've opened my Bible to the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 1. And I'm going to begin reading in verse 1. Read down through and include the Lord willing. Verse 9. And the Word of God reads as this. Now, listen now. God's going to emphasize this. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, and boy, those two words there, Moses' minister, I'm telling you, if you know what I believe, I don't believe you can lead until you learn how to serve. I believe that with the thought of my heart. I believe that. And I've got Bible precedents for that too, by the way. Moses, he goes on to say, my servant is dead. Now therefore, arise, and he's talking to Joshua, go over this Jordan, thou, and all this people unto the land, which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. Now notice, that's past tense. All they had to do is go get it. God had done promised it. God had done given it. God had done covenanted it with them. And all they had to do is get up and go in. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even into the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, or the Hittites, however you want to enunciate it, under the great sea towards the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Boy, that'll preach right there. He said, be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance that the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper wherever, whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Watch this. But thou shalt meditate day in, or meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee wheresoever thou goest. I want to back up and look at verse 8 for the text. Listen to what he begins with in verse 8. He said, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. And this is going to be the result, that thou mayest observe to do all that is written therein, for then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. I'm going to talk to you a little while today, by the grace of God, for the glory of God, about this book. What to do? What to do with this book? Now friend, listen, when I'm talking about this book, I'm talking about the Word of God. In fact, I'm going to be a little more specific. I'm talking about the King James Bible. I don't refer to it as a version anymore. And I know that it is. I know that it is a version. I've done all the study that I wanted to do and needed to do. And listen, friend, I've invested many, many, many hours in how we got our Bible versions. And you know what I did? I've invested enough, bless God, time in that to come away from my study more sure that this is the Word of God that God has given to this people this day for this hour. Hey, friend, I'll tell you, listen, when I'm talking about this book, I'm talking about the 1611 King James Bible. Thank God for this blessed old book. This blessed old book that's been tried and proven, that's pure and powerful. Hey, friend, it doesn't just contain the Word of God. It is the Word of God. And let me tell you what I believe about it. I believe, bless God, just what it says. I believe it is inspired. Not some of it, but all of it. Just like Paul told Timothy and tells us in the book of 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And the sad thing about it, how much did an old friend listen, there's some modern versions, some versions that had been created from or translated from that what I call corrupt text by that was produced by Westcott and Hort. I want you to know it says all Scripture that is inspired. Hey, glory to God. I'm believing from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21 as the Word of Almighty God. Thank God. Listen, I like this book. Now think about the circumstances around which God gave this to Moses. Or I mean to Joshua after Moses had died. They were ready to cross that Jordan River. They'd been in the wilderness for now on, just right about 40 years. Isn't that amazing? They'd been delivered out of Egypt by the blood and by the power of God's hand. And here they were, friend, here they were on the verge of going into that land that God promised Abraham many years before, that land that flowed with milk and with honey. I mean, they're this great nation, this chosen nation, this elect nation, called of God, blessed by God, used by God, just standing ready to cross over in to that land of promise. Now listen, they would face battles. They had enemies that they had to defeat. I mean to tell you, there would be death that they would find there. And you know what they needed to sustain them? They needed the Word of God. Whoa, friend, listen, we need the Word of God today. Can I tell you, for my convictions and put something in your mind and before you for your consideration? I believe, bless God, the problems that we're having today in our nation, in our government, in our schools, in our homes, in our churches, is because we've abandoned the Word of God. We've abandoned the Word of God, friend. Hey, listen, I'll tell you how we need to go back to this book. We need to do the right things with this book. We need to do the right things by this book. And we need to do the right things that this book tells us to. Remember what he said in the latter part of verse 8. He said, now listen, if you'll not depart out of this law, if you'll meditate in it, he said, then, listen now, then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Hey, I'm telling you, friend, thank God for this book. Thank God for this book. Now, at the time of God giving this to Joshua, it meant specifically the Pentateuch, those first five books of the Word of God that was given to Moses by God. If I remember correctly, I believe the Jews referred to it as the Torah. And don't hold me to that. I'm just trying to go by memory. But oh, what a book it is. Thank God. Listen, it contains God's law. It contains God's will. It is God's Word. And we have God's command. It is the message, friend, from a holy God to a sinful man, and how that we might know Him, I live for Him, I relate to Him, and worship Him in a way that's pleasing. Now in this day, you know, I don't need to say this, but I've got to probably for some folks, and now I'm talking about the entire Word of God. I'm talking about the Word of God, friend, both the Old Testament and the New, from Genesis again to Revelation. I'm talking about, friend, this book. All of it may not be written to us, but hallelujah, it's written for us. We need to read it. We need to embrace it. We need to rightly divide it. We need to do many things with it. And that's what this message is about. Hey, if you'd read quickly over there in the book of Acts, chapter 20, verse 32, I believe it is, when Paul was on his way to Rome, he stopped by commune and to fellowship at Miletus with the elders of the church of Ephesus. And you know what he did when he got ready to leave? He knew that they would see his face no more. He knew that they would be the last time that on planet Earth they would get together. You know what he did? He commended them to God and to the word of His patience. I believe that's what it is. I have to turn and read it really, really quickly. What a great verse it is in chapter 20, verse 32. He said, "And now, brethren," He said, "I commend you to God and the word of His grace." Not patience, but grace. Hey, friend, we need the word of God. You say, "All right, preacher, what are we going to do with it? What are we going to do with it?" Now listen, I've got a list of things. My list is short, it's brief, and there's many more things that no doubt we ought to do with it. But I'll tell you, these things I believe are good. These things will benefit us. These things will prove to be a blessing to us if we hear them and if we heed them. Listen, friend, and the first thing we need to do with this book is look in it. Hallelujah. You know why a lot of people don't like to look into the Word of God? I'll tell you, simply because the Word of God looks into them. I believe that it was James that says, is not my Word likened unto, is the Word of God is likened unto a mirror. That's exactly what he likens it to. The Word of God is like a mirror. You know what? When we look into the Word of God, it shows us just how far short that we come. It just shows us, friend, where we lack and what we need. I'll tell you, friend, it's a great book. And that's why I wish I'd have that written down. The Holy Spirit just reminded me of it while I was getting into this first point. We ought to look in it, but people don't like to because it looks into them. I'll tell you, it's like a sword, according to the book of Hebrews 4:12, that it'll penetrate right down into the very depths of our heart. It'll divide us a joint or soul and spirit, joints and marrow. I'm telling you what's the truth. It'll get down to where we live. We ought to look in it, listen, friend, daily. Thank God. Listen, there's a lot of people that have a Bible, but they never open the Bible up. I mean, friend, it's one thing to carry it in your hand. It's another thing to hide it in your heart. And we need to take, bless God, time to look in it every day. Do you hear? Oh, look, friend, look. Whenever grow as we ought to, whenever be what we can be, whenever be what God intended for us to be, if we don't look into this book, back over in the book of Exodus, when God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, hey, you know what? They began to murmur and complain. They got hungry. In chapter 15 of the book of Exodus, that book of redemption, God told Moses, said, "Listen, here's what I want to do. I'm going to send you some manna. I'm going to send you some bread. I'm going to send you angel food. But here's the deal. Every day, your people have to go out and get them a daily portion. They have to go out and get them a homer, H-O-M-E-R. You know what that is? That's a daily portion. Hey, you know what we need to do? We need to daily get us a portion out of the Word of God. We're to do it daily. Friend, we're to look in the Word of God daily. Thank God. We're to take a portion in. We ought to read it when we're at our best. Not just hurriedly. Not just, I've got to read because I've got to read. We ought to do it because we love it. We ought not only do it daily, but we ought to do it prayerfully. I believe the psalmist said, Psalm 119 and 18, he said, "Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." Now that the Word of God is complete, I pray that on a regular basis. "Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy Word." Hey, listen, friend, we ought to do it daily. We ought to do it prayerfully. We ought to ask God to order our steps in His Word. We ought to ask God to enlighten us, to quicken us. Hey, there's a lot of things we ought to do prayerfully, but we ought to do it daily. You know what we ought to do? We ought to do it faithfully. Thank God. There's a lot of people reading the Word of God haphazardly. I mean to tell you, they'll just take the Bible and they say, "Lord, I'm in trouble." And they'll kind of lay it down and they'll just let the front and the back separate. And wherever the book lands, they'll put their finger in it and they'll begin to read. Well, there's a guy did that one time. He got in trouble. He didn't know where to go in the Word of God. So he said, "God, I'm in trouble." And you know what he did? He said, "Look, here, I'm gonna do this. God, I'm gonna open my Bible wherever it falls and my finger touches. That's what I'll do." Well, he opened it up. He shut his eye. You know what he did? He put his finger down. And it was on the passage that said, "And Judas went out and hanged himself." He said, "Oh no, Lord, that won't do. That won't do for my problem. So let me try this again." Closed the Bible again. Just let it fall open. Closed his eye. I stuck stuck his finger in it, and he opened his eyes up and began to read, and it said, "What thou doest, what thou findest to do, do thou quickly." Hey, I'll tell you, listen, I don't want a haphazard way of reading the Word of God. I want to do it daily. I want to do it prayerfully. I want to do it faithfully. And bless God, I want to do it systematically. Hey, friend, we ought to do it that way. You know what else we ought to do when we get in it? We ought to linger in it. Thank God we ought to linger in this blessed old book. What do you mean linger in it? Well, he said right here in Joshua 1 and 8, he said we ought to do it day and night. Isn't that amazing? I mean to tell you, he said thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Over in the book of Psalm 1, verses 1 and following, he said, "Blessed is man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, stand in the way of the sinner, sitteth in the seat of the scornful." Now watch this. "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." Hey, listen, friend, we ought to get in it. Once we do, we ought to linger in it. You know what he goes on to say in verse 3? "For he shall be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season, leaves shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." We can't prosper spiritually speaking until we get in the Word of God, until the Word of God gets in us. We ought not to run to it hurriedly. Bless God, we ought to sit and gaze on it. We ought to do like he said in Matthew 10. Over there in the book of Matthew, chapter 20, what is it, 7, and sitting down, they watched him. And may I tell you, sir, listen, you'll spend no more time with Christ, bless God, than you spend with the Word of God. Oh, we ought to love it. Oh, we ought to linger in it. Thank God, we ought to linger in it. Oh, I don't have time to spend any time on all of these. And then we ought to learn it. He said there in the book of Psalm 119:11, "Thy word have I hid in my heart." I'll tell you, Paul tells us to let our speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that we might know how to answer every man for the hope that asketh us of the hope that lieth within us with fear. Thank God. I believe Peter said we ought to sanctify the Lord God in our hearts. Hey, friend, we ought to get in the Word of God again until the Word of God gets in us. We ought to let it sink deeply into our heart. And you say, "Why, preacher?" Because out of it are the issues of life. And then you know what we ought to do? How we ought to live it. It's not enough to learn it. It's not enough to have head knowledge about it. Hey, the Bible, did you know the Bible says that the devils or the demons even believe and tremble? I mean to tell you, Satan knows the Word of God. He can quote it. Now, he can't rightly divide it. He can't spiritually understand it. But I want you to know he knows it. It's not enough to have a head knowledge of it. It needs to move from our head into our heart, where it comes out in our feet, where it carries us, our hands, what we do, our mouth, what we speak, our ears, what we hear, our eyes, what we see, our mind, what we think. Hey, listen, he said in Psalm 119, 105, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Peter hangs up his pen, puts down his parchment, as he said this in 2 Peter 3:18, "How about grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ?" Hey, Paul said, listen, you friend, walking in shoe leather, he said that you are epistles written in our heart, known and read of all men. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2, I'll tell you how to live it, right there in the epistle that the Apostle Paul wrote. You know what he did? He said, listen, let me tell you, in the beginning chapters, what the doctrine is. And then in the last chapters of the epistles, about all of them, especially in the book of Ephesians, you can see this clearly. He laid the doctrine down that he wanted that church of Ephesus to get. And beginning in chapter 4, verse 1, he said, I need to turn to it, and yet I don't have time to do that. He said we ought to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we're called. Thank God. Listen, friend, God's called us to something great. God called us to something marvelous. He's given us a great book. And you know what we need to do to it? With it? Hey, we need to look in it. We need to linger in it. We need to learn it. We need to live it. And you know what it'll be? It'll be for our good. but glory, it'll be glory to God. Hey, what to do with this book? We call the Bible. What to do with this book? We call the Word of God. I'll tell you, friend, listen. We ought to do it daily. Thank God. Hey, I'm glad you listened in. Get that old book out. Knock the dust off if you need to, and get in until it gets in you. Until the next time.
Thank you, friend, for listening to Inspirational Truths today. It is our prayer that the message and the song has been a blessing to your soul and has in some way ministered to your heart. We hope that you will make plans to join us every week at this same time. If you have a special request that you would like us to know about, please feel free to write us and we will be sure to pray about your request, whatever it is. If you'd like to contact us, our address is Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. That's Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. We're on the web at TOMANDDEBBIE at inspirationaltruths.com. That's Tom and Debbie at inspirationaltruths.com. Remember, friend, this is a work of faith. We need both your prayers and your listening ear. Now, until the next time, it is our prayer that God will richly bless both you and yours.